back in the Word of God to the book of Acts in the chapter 8, the verse 26. So we are continuing and concluding what we have been looking at over the past couple, and now the third Wednesday evening. So Acts chapter 8, and we'll read again verse 26, and then we'll read the final verse 40. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Verse 40, But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Let's bow together in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help upon his word as we meditate upon it tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray for clear understanding, for knowledge, for not just the accumulation of facts and figures and knowledge, but for the kind of knowledge that brings us closer unto thyself. As Paul said, that I may know him. And Lord, we pray that that will be our guiding light, our north star, our directional apparatus and compass, that I may know him and help us in knowing him to praise him, to magnify him, to glorify him, because we know that is why we are here upon the earth at all. So speak on to our hearts tonight, challenge us and comfort us. We ask in Jesus' name for his glory and to our great benefit. Amen. Having, as we have done now for the past number of Wednesday evenings, considered Acts chapter 8, if there's one thing that rises to the surface and means that here is a man who was cornering the chapter because he's heavily involved, then it's Philip. But specifically, we have the Acts of Philip the preacher, or the Acts of Philip the evangelist, as we find him called in this book. For example, look at chapter 8 and the verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. We find that he preached not only in Samaria, but when he was there, he preached with effect and with results. Verse 12, But when they that believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There was other preaching going on. In verse 25, we read about Peter and John, who had come up from Jerusalem, spent a little time in Samaria here, and perhaps Philip is in the mix as well when they're preaching the word of the Lord and doing so in the villages of the Samaritans. But we go to the next verse, and we find exactly where he was, beyond all doubt, in verse 26, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So essentially, Peter and John, they're going down to Jerusalem, and for a while, Philip is going the same direction. Then he veers out onto the coastline, onto one of those old Philistine-style cities of Gaza. We find as well in verse 35 another reference to the preaching of this man Philip. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And that's not the final reference, because that comes in verse 40, the final verse. But Philip was found at Azotus. That's another old Philistine city. The margin of your Bible will render that as Ashdod. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he went down the coastline. You'll see it in the map that no doubt is at the back of your Bible, and it'll show you how he will have come down there through Gaza, right down to Ashdod, right through to Caesarea, and he was still preaching the Lord Jesus Christ there. It may be fair to claim that he established his ministry in Caesarea, because approximately 20 years pass, and then we find him again and his family, and they are right there in Caesarea. In the book of Acts, chapter 21, and the verse 8, we read, "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." So here is a man, and when he gets down to this location, is, apart from all the moving about that he did, so characteristic of him in chapter 8, it seems that he settles and he's preaching consistently the word of the Lord down there. No matter how we view it, Acts chapter 8 shows a whirlwind ministry. And there might be more of a whirlwind to it than what we'd even imagine, because there's a very interesting use of a word in Acts 8 and the verse 39. In that 39th verse we read, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, that is, the eunuch did, rejoicing." The words "caught away" are pretty interesting here. Some people of a particular persuasion have got all over them, and they've thought, oh, there's an indication of this, an indication of that, and an indication of something else. The word that we have used here is translated in the Bible, "caught up," as in "caught away" here. "Take by force" is another way the word is rendered. "Catch away," "pluck," or "pull." Let me give you some examples. In Matthew 11 and the verse 12, Jesus said, and he's encouraging people to come and to pray and to keep praying and to intensify the praying and to really seek. And as if you're operating a battering ram, just keep going. And he says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." And those words, "take it by force," are exactly the same here as "the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip." Another example, in Matthew 13 and the verse 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away." That's the word again. "Catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." And in our Lord's parable, that was the fowls of the air, and they swept in and they caught away the seed that had been sown on the wayside. One example, the final one I'll mention, but one I really like, again, in the words of Christ in John 10, the verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them," that's the same word, "pluck them out of my hand." So, Philip here, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, carried him off by force, pulled him along, plucked him, as it were, away from the chariot and the vicinity of the Ethiopian eunuch. And some have said, well, that is a picture of the rapture coming in, and the person is plucked away. What it does picture is simply this. The Lord is reminding us here, his work is sudden. And he's teaching in a very graphic way that Philip's job is done. And the Holy Spirit urges him on, and he thrusts him on, or he plucks him out, and pulls him away, and he brings him to another field of service. Sometimes, humanly speaking, we are reluctant to go where the Spirit of God wants us to be. And we're maybe too comfortable, and our nest is too well padded, and we're thinking, I'm quite content here, don't move me. And these words of force are given here, that God is saying to Philip, as I pulled you out into the desert to meet this one man, now I need to move you to another place where you can proclaim the gospel of Christ to many once more. I want to notice some things about him in passing here tonight, and one was there is affinity. Affinity. Here's a man living in close fellowship with the Lord. We pick that up in verse 26, and we see it again in verse 29. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Verse 29, further direction is given. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, this is a man that must have been living in close association with the Lord. He was in touch with him. He was on speaking terms with him. His ear was opened unto the voice of God. God does not shout his orders. One instruction is given in 26 that took Philip part of the way. The next one, the completing one in the sequence, appears in verse 29, and he is targeting a particular person in this chariot. And we need an ear that's open to the voice of God. An ear that will be longing to hear a word from heaven to our heart. When was the last time the Lord spoke to you, led you, directed you by his word, and your conscience that it wasn't all the din of the earthquake as in Elijah's time, but it was a still, small voice that was prompting you, leading you, guiding you? And you said, Lord, thank you for that clear direction. And we only pick it up when there is that affinity, when we're in close fellowship with the Lord. And here's a man led along. Availability is another thing. Not only affinity, but availability. Here is a man in the shape of Philip who was available to the Lord and to his way and to his will. He's moved about. And we see that right through the chapter. Moved here, moved there, moved somewhere else. And there's not a murmur of complaint. There's not a stamping of the foot in protestation. There's not that digging in the heels and saying, well, I'm here, I like it here, and I'm here to stay, and I don't care what other instructions come my way. I am rooted to this spot. No, rather, he was willing to be moved along according to God's will and according to God's wish. Look at verse 5 through to 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You would have been rejoicing, as would I have been, had this been our experience. Treasured moment. An absolutely precious memory. The kind of moment you would want to extend and keep extend. It can't be over. It can't be gone. Lord, prolong the time. And here he is with God really working. But in verse 26, and the Spirit of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. How different it was in Jonah's case. Jonah wasn't available to the Lord. Jonah was quite the opposite. He was disobedient. He was so out of the will, so out of the plan of God, so determined he would go his own way, that when the Lord is telling him, Nineveh, he says, no, I'm going to Tarshish, the opposite direction. And Philip could have said, Lord, do you not understand what's happening here? Look at the revival in Samaria. Look at the souls being saved, the people being healed. Look at the power that you're revealing here. I want to stay in the middle of this. instead of being in Gaza. But here was a man who was available. And that surely is a lesson for us. Lord, what wilt you have me to do? I would prefer Samaria, but if it's Gaza, I'll do that. Availability. Accommodation as well. He's ready to obey God. And again, note the comparison, verse 26 and 27. And then 28 and 29. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go. Verse 27, here's the comparison, the correspondence. And he arose and went. Arise and go is God's word, his action. He arose and went. 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Verse 30, the correspondence. And Philip ran thither to him. Exactly as God directed, he did. Why are you running, Philip? Why are you speeding across this desert floor? I'm running to do what the Lord wants me to do. What does he want you to do, Philip? Well, I don't exactly know all the details just yet, but my only concern is to obey him and to do what he says. All the details are left to him. And he who knows the end from the beginning is the one always to trust on that. And this is how we should live, and this is how we should work. Every day here on this earth in daily humble obedience to the Lord himself. No wonder God could and did use a man like this. So there was affinity and availability and accommodation of himself to the will of God. There was also announcement. We've got used to that, having looked at Philip in the earlier part of the chapter. Here's a man living to win others. His one great overarching concern in life was to bring others to know the Lord as their Savior. Nothing else trumped this one. That was his high objective. And that's very clear. Back at the beginning of the chapter, verse 4 through to the verse 8, again verse 26 through to 39, the end of the chapter, and as noted already, we're not even finished at that point, because in verse 40, but Philip was found, he's moved on again, at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Announcements about Christ. All the way, everywhere he went, he didn't do anything different. He did exactly the same thing everywhere the Lord placed him. He preached in all the cities, winning others to Christ was the big business in his life. Did you note on the way through that he was on the lookout for souls? You'll see that in verse 27. And he arose and went. That's him actively following the will of God. Notice the next term, and behold. Behold, his eyes were opened. He's on the lookout. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. He saw him. He wasn't a respecter of persons. Here's a man, an Ethiopian. And it turns out he was of tremendous authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He had the charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem for the worship. Here is a man who was a high flyer in his own society, who had been promoted right up into the highest echelons of power within the country, and yet though he was the queen's treasurer, Philip didn't reel back and have I got it right here? Oh, maybe the Lord's got it wrong. Maybe I shouldn't be telling this man about the Lord. What kind of disdain might he shower upon me if I tell him about Jesus, because he's a well-travelled individual, he knows things, he's in charge of things. Maybe I'd be better keeping quiet. But absolutely not. He was no respecter of persons, and he brought Christ to this man. He was very tactful in his approach. And you can pick that up from verse 28 through to the verse 30. He asked a question. And that's always a good tip in witnessing to people. To ask a question. Understandest thou, is the question here, what thou readest at the end of verse 30? And that opened up a conversation. And the Lord opened up this man's heart. Always good when approaching the things of God to drop in a question. He's very tactful in the way he approaches, and also respectful too. He was armed, as you see, with the sword of the Spirit. That's why Paul the Apostle was very keen to underline the point in Ephesians 6 and verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't go witnessing in your wisdom. Don't go thinking you can do it without the Word, the means that God has appointed. Philip believed the Scripture. That much is evident with the way that he treated Isaiah 53, verse 32, verse 33. The place of the Scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his judgment, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He knew how to take the Word of God, lift up the Scripture, and by it lead a soul to Christ. And we need a trained eye as we come to the Word of God, that we can see Christ in all the Scriptures and understand that that soul outside of Christ, that's only what he needs. And let's not beat all around the bush and try this and try that and try the other. Introduce them to Christ. Armed with the sword of the Spirit. Notice how he pointed this needy soul to Christ. He didn't try to attract him to himself. He didn't say, well, you know what, I'm a busy individual. I've been doing this in Samaria. Now I didn't quite know why I was going to Gaza, but I find you. He didn't tell about himself. It wasn't his story that he was interested in getting over to this man of Ethiopia. He pointed him to Christ. He preached Christ unto him. Just like he'd done to the crowd. In verse 5, he preached Christ unto them up in Samaria. So now, one solitary individual, his message doesn't change. He preaches Jesus to him. Verse 35. And that's been the downfall of many a ministry, where men begin to trim, and now women, to suit the audience. I'm in their employ. If I preach what they don't want to hear, well, I better not do that. So I'll tailor it and trim it and tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. But he preached Christ unto those in Samaria, and he preached Christ unto the Ethiopian eunuch as well. Pointed needy souls to Christ. Notice how he sought to establish this new convert as well. We mentioned that as earlier on in one of the other messages. He not only evangelized here, he catechized. He gave instructions to the new convert as well. He didn't just see him brought to the Lord. He gave words of wisdom that he had learned unto this man. And then you notice what happened. Philip got out of the picture. he had done his job. He had obeyed the Lord's instructions. He had been faithful to the Lord. He had done everything God had told him to do and done it to a T. But he knew he no longer counted. As John the Baptist said, John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. This man has been introduced to Christ. He knows Isaiah 53 is all about Christ. He'll have heard other things from Philip's ministry here as well. Let him go on in his chariot and meditate on these things and muse over these things and memorize what he has learned. Let me disappear and let him be all taken up with Christ. So he gets out of the picture, and Christ stays central to the scene. And that's a lesson for all of us too. The announcement that we have here, but then finally appointment. He was a spirit-led and a spirit-filled man, and that's evident from all what we read. From verse 29 through to verse 39, we're told in 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing in Christ. But Philip was a spirit-led and a spirit-filled man. We don't need to labor this point, although it deserves it if we miss it. But that's the secret. Day by day, to look for the filling of God the Holy Ghost. To pray, Lord, help me live this way. Help me work this way. Let me be like this man Philip, led by the Spirit and filled by God's Spirit. That's why there was affinity. His ear was opened. He was on the Lord's wavelength. That's why there was availability. He realized there's one thing to do in life, and I need to do it. It's God's will. That's why there was accommodation. You're taking me to a place, an unknown place. I know where I am in Samaria. I've got the feel of this place. I love seeing people coming to Christ. Why out into the desert? But he's ready to obey God wherever God leads. And wherever he is, the same announcement is coming through. Christ. 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 Appointment. Because the Lord was in charge of this man's diary, and he knew he could write over every page, led by the Spirit. Let's pray.